Welcome to day 246 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we are going to be reading Ezekiel chapters 23 and 24 from the Amplified Bible. In today's reading, we will hear again some rather R-rated imagery that's used as an illustration or a parable about the unfaithfulness of the Israelites toward the Lord. But if you are having small children listen to this, you really probably wouldn't want to have to answer the questions that some of the imagery will evoke. So just a forewarning on that. But again, we're starting this week in the Amplified Bible, and today's reading will bring us a very interesting and sad story about the death of Ezekiel's wife and how the Lord instructed him not even to mourn or shed a tear openly about her death, though Ezekiel was known to have loved his wife very dearly. So we will begin today at Ezekiel chapter 23, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother, and they played the harlot in Egypt. There they played the harlot in their youth. There their bosoms were pressed, and there their virgin breasts were handled. And the names of them were Oholah, the elder, and Oholibah, her sister. And they became mine, and they bore sons and daughters. As for the identity of their names, Oholah is Samaria, and Oholibah is Jerusalem. And Oholah played the harlot when she was mine, and she was foolishly fond of her lovers, and doted on the Assyrians, her neighbors, who were clothed with blue, governors and deputies, all of them attractive young men, horsemen riding upon horses. And she bestowed her harlotries upon them, the choicest men of Assyria, all of them, and on whomever she doted with all their idols, she defiled herself. Neither has she left her harlotries since the days of Egypt, from where she brought them. For in her youth, men there lay with her and handled her girlish bosom, and they poured out their sinful desire upon her. Wherefore I delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians, upon whom she doted. These uncovered her nakedness and shame. They took her sons and her daughters, and they slew her with the sword. And her name became notorious and a byword among women when judgments were executed upon her. And her sister, Oholibah, saw this. Yet she was more corrupt in her foolish fondness than she, and in her harlotries she was more wanton than her sister in her harlotries. She doted upon the Assyrians, governors and deputies or neighbors, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. And I saw that she was defiled, that both of the sisters took one way. But Oholibah carried her harlotries further, for she saw men pictured upon the wall, the pictures of the Chaldeans, sketched in bright red pigment, girded with girdles on their loins, with flowing turbans on their heads, all of them looking like officers, a picture of Babylonian men whose native land was Chaldea. Then, as soon as she saw the sketches of them, she doted on them, and sent messengers to them in Chaldea. And the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their evil desire. And when she was polluted by them, she, Jerusalem, broke the relationship and pushed them away from her in disgust. So she flaunted her harlotries and exposed her nakedness, and I was disgusted and turned from her, as I had turned in disgust from her sister. Yet she multiplied her harlotries, remembering the days of her youth in which she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. For she doted on her paramours there, whose lust was sensuous and vulgar like that of asses or stallions. Thus you yearned for the lewdness of your youth, when those of Egypt handled your bosom on account of your girlish breasts. Therefore, O Aholabama, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will rouse up your lovers against you, from whom you turned in disgust, and I will bring them against you on every side, the Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, Pekod and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, desirable young men, governors and officers, all of them, princes, men of renown and counselors, all of them riding on horses. And they shall come against you with weapons, chariots, wagons, and wheels, and with a host of infantry, which shall array themselves against you with buckler and shield and helmet round about. And I will commit the judgment and punishment to them, and they shall judge and punish you according to their heathen customs in such matters. And I will set my jealous indignation against you, and they shall deal with you in fury. They shall take away your nose and your ears, and those who are left of you shall fall by the sword. They shall take your sons and your daughters, and the remainder shall be devoured by the fire. They shall also strip you, Judah, of your clothes and take away your fine jewels. Thus I will put an end to your lewdness and your harlotry brought from the land of Egypt, so that you will not lift up your eyes to them nor earnestly remember Egypt any more. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will deliver you into the hands of those whom you hate, into the hands of those from whom you turned away in disgust. They shall deal with you in hatred, and shall take away all the earnings of your labor, and shall leave you naked and bare, and the nakedness of your harlotry shall be uncovered, both your lewdness and your wanton ways. These things shall be done to you, because you have played the harlot after the nations, and because you have defiled yourself with their idols. You have walked in the way of your sister, Samaria, Israel's capital. Therefore, I will give her cup into your hand. Thus says the Lord God, you shall drink of your sister's cup, which is deep and wide and brimful. You shall be laughed to scorn and held in derision, for it contains much, too much to endure. You shall be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of wasting astonishment and horror and desolation, with the cup of your sister Samaria. You shall drink it and drain it out, then gnaw the pieces of it, which in your drunkenness you have broken, and shall tear your own breasts, for I have spoken it, says the Lord God. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me, your divine husband, and cast me behind your back, therefore bear also the consequences of your lewdness and your harlotry. The Lord said moreover to me, son of man, will you judge Aholah and Aholabah? Then declare and show to them their abominations, the detestable, loathsome, and shamefully vile things they do. For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands, even with their idols have they committed adultery against me. And they have also caused their sons, whom they bore to me, to pass through the fire to their images as an offering of food to be devoured by them. Moreover, this they have done to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day of their idolatries, and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children as offering to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it, by daring to offer sacrifice there also. And behold, thus they have done in the midst of my house. And furthermore, you have sent for men to come from afar, to whom a messenger was sent, and behold, they came. Those for whom you washed yourself, painted your eyelids, and decked yourself with ornaments. And you sat upon a stately couch, with a table spread before it upon which you set my incense and my oil. And the sound of a careless crowd was with her, and with men of the common sort were brought drunkards from the wilderness, who put bracelets upon the hands of both sisters and beautiful crowns upon their heads. Then I said of the one, Ahola, worn out with adulteries, will they now play the harlot with her, now that she is old, and she with them? Yet they went into her as they go into a woman who plays the harlot. So they went into Ahola and to Aholibah, Israel and Judah, the lewd women. And the righteous men, they shall judge and condemn them to punishment due to adulteresses, to women who shed blood, for they are adulteresses, and blood is upon their hands. For thus says the Lord God, I will bring up a host upon them, and will give them over to be tossed to and fro and robbed. And the host shall stone them with stones, and cut them down with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters, and burn up their houses with fire. Thus will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land, that all women may be taught not to do after your lewdness. Thus your lewdness shall be recompensed upon you, and you shall suffer the penalty for your sinful idolatry, and you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord God. Chapter 24. Again, in the ninth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, record the name of the day, even of this same day. The king of Babylon set himself against and assailed Jerusalem this same day. And utter a parable against the rebellious house of Judah, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, put on a pot, and put it on, and also pour water into it. Put into it the pieces of meat, all the good pieces, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with the choice of the bones. Take the choicest of the flock and burn also the unused bones under it, and make it boil well and seethe its bones in the pot. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, woe to the bloody city, to the pot, whose rust and scum are in it, and whose rust and scum have not gone out of it. Take out of it piece by piece, without making any choice. For the blood she has shed remains in the midst of her. She put it upon the bare rock. She did not pour it on the ground to cover it with dust, that it may cause wrath to come up to take vengeance. I have put her blood, guilt for her children, sacrificed to Molech, upon the bare rock, that it would not be covered. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, woe to the blood-guilty city. Also, I will make the pile of fuel great. Heap on wood, kindle the fire, and make it hot. Boil well the meat, and mix the spices. Pour out the broth when thick, and let the bones be burned up. Then set the pot, Jerusalem, back empty upon the coals, that the bronze of it may be hot and may glow, and the filthiness of it may be melted in it, and the rust and scum of it may be consumed. She has wearied herself and me with toil, yet her great rust and scum go not forth out of her. For however hotly the fire burns, her thick rust and filth will not go out of her by fire. In your filthiness is abomination, and therefore, because I would have cleansed you, and you were not cleansed, you shall not be cleansed from your filthiness any more, until I have satisfied my wrath against and upon you. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I relent. According to your ways and according to your doings shall they judge and punish you, says the Lord God. Also, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, Ezekiel, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes, your wife, at a single stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, neither shall your tears flow. Sigh and groan, but not aloud. Be silent. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban upon your head and put your shoes on your feet. And do not cover your beard or eat the bread of mourners furnished by others. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died, and I did the next morning as I was commanded. And the people said to me, "Will you not tell us what these things are supposed to mean to us, that you are acting as you do?" Then I answered them, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, in which you take pride as your strength, the desire of your eyes, and the pity and sympathy of your soul, that you would spare with your life, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left behind shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I, Ezekiel, have done. You shall not cover your beard, nor eat the bread of mourning brought to you by others, and your turbans shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet. You shall not mourn or weep, but you shall pine away for your iniquities, your guilt, and sigh and groan to one another. Thus Ezekiel is to you a sign. According to all that he has done, you shall do. And when this destruction of the temple comes, you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord God, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. And you, son of man, on the day when I take from them my temple, their strength and their stronghold, their joy and their glory, the delight of their eyes and their heart's chief desire, and also take their sons and their daughters, on that day an escaped fugitive shall come to you to cause you to hear of it, the destruction of Jerusalem, with your own ears. In that day your mouth shall be opened to him who has escaped, and you shall speak and be no more speechless, and you shall be a sign to them, and they shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord." This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. Today's Bible reading began with chapter 23, which gives us a very vivid illustration or parable once again of Israel's idolatry. And the parable that is used is that of two sisters who are very corrupt in their morals and essentially are acting like prostitutes and going with any and every person that would come by. And the picture is one of spiritual adultery, the idea being that the relationship between God and his people is represented by a husband and a wife, or the relationship between husband and wife. And we see this same picture or parable or illustration in the New Testament when the body of Christ is called the bride of Christ. So you see the idea being that the relationship between God and his people is like a husband with a wife, and that faithfulness is required in a marriage relationship for that relationship to be sound and whole and loving and remain intact. But we know from the history that we've been hearing how Israel as a whole became more and more and more unfaithful to God, to the point that They were so far from God that God condemned them as being more idolatrous than the nations around whom they lived. Those that they had borrowed the idols from, those that they had picked up all these practices, wicked and evil and ungodly and demonic practices of religious idolatry that they took from these other nations, God said about Israel that they had become worse than those nations. So the condemnation was very great, and the judgment that was going to come upon the Israelites was equally great. We saw first that the Lord judged the northern kingdom of Israel. Remember, Israel had been split into two kingdoms back in the day when Solomon's son, King Rehoboam, had answered so unwisely the people when he became king that 10 of the tribes left him and would not follow his leadership. So they became the northern kingdom of Israel. And Rehoboam, King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was left with just two tribes, and they became what was called the southern kingdom of Judah. But all in all, these were God's people, the Israelites. So these two kingdoms, first of all, the northern kingdom, whose capital city became Samaria, and then the southern kingdom of Judah, which had the capital city of Jerusalem, are pictured here in chapter 23 of Ezekiel as being two wicked and immoral sisters who play the prostitute or play the harlot and go with any and every man that comes by. Obviously, a picture of spiritual adultery referring to all the idols that they would run after and become unfaithful to God through their worship of those idols. So God tells them in chapter 24, verse 14, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I relent. According to your ways and according to your doings shall they judge and punish you, says the Lord God. So the prophet is telling the Israelites who are now captives in Babylon that God is about to bring judgment on the people that are left in Jerusalem and upon the city of Jerusalem through the Babylonians and the attack that's about to come. So he's forewarning them, as Jeremiah the prophet had done before. Ezekiel is now warning the people who are captive in Babylon that they are all about to hear that Jerusalem will be attacked and taken and destroyed. And then the very next thing that happens after he gives that word is that Ezekiel gets a very disturbing word from the Lord. And it's a word that says to him in verse 16 of the 24th chapter, Son of man, Ezekiel, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes, your wife, at a single stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, neither shall your tears flow. So here Ezekiel is told in the morning that his wife is going to die. And it tells us in verse 18, so I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. I did the next morning as I was commanded. And he had been commanded by the Lord that he was not allowed to mourn or to weep or even to allow his tears to flow. And not only that, he was to be completely silent and make no mourning for the dead. And then he was to do some very specific things which were completely against cultural practice when someone close to you dies. The Lord told him, bind your turban upon your head and put your shoes on your feet. First of all, when someone died close to you, you would remove your shoes from your feet and you'd walk around barefoot, which was a sign of mourning. And he was also told to put his turban on his head. Now, remember, Ezekiel was from the priestly line, and a traditional sign of mourning for a priest was that they actually uncovered their heads. And here, because normally they wore something on their head, but here we're told that Ezekiel is instructed by the Lord to put his turban on his head and put his shoes on his feet and not to cover his beard, which was another sign of mourning, and not to eat the bread of mourners furnished by others. In other words, when someone died, even as it is in the U.S. a tradition, people will bring food to the family because they have no heart to make anything or prepare any food when someone has died. So others will bring them food to eat. Yet, in this case, Ezekiel's instructed, do not eat the bread of mourners. So, what was the purpose of this? And it was a sign. It was something that God was requiring of Ezekiel, no doubt a very difficult one, because God said to him that he was going to take from him the desire of his eyes. So he was speaking to Ezekiel's heart. He knew that Ezekiel loved his wife. She was the desire of his eyes. And yet the Lord told him, I'm going to remove the desire of your eyes in a moment. And so it was. And it was a sign for the people. Ezekiel's life was a sign for the people of Israel or for Judah. So what was the purpose of all of that? The Lord explained it, and Ezekiel explained it to the people. In verse 21, it says, speak to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary in which you take pride as your strength, the desire of your eyes, and the pity and sympathy of your soul, that you would spare with your life, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left behind shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I, Ezekiel, have done. You shall not cover your head nor eat the bread of mourning. And your turban shall be on your heads and your shoes on your feet, and you shall not mourn or weep. And the whole purpose of that was that God was telling them that the desire of their eyes, which was the temple, the pride of Israel, was that temple. It was the glory of Jerusalem, the temple, the thing everybody loved to look at. That was about to be destroyed. Like Ezekiel's wife would die, so the temple would be destroyed in a day. And it was also explained that all the people that were left there were also going to be killed by the sword. So it was a word of great tragedy, and they were not allowed to weep about it or cry about it, but they needed to think about why it had come to pass. Because of the level of idolatry and total and absolute rebellion against God that had been committed by the people that brought the Lord to the point where he judged them so severely. You know, historians and Bible scholars say that before the destruction of Jerusalem and the carrying away in captivity to Babylon, before that happened, this very traumatic and tragic event in the history of Israel, prior to that, there was probably no country that was more given over to idol worship than Israel. But after the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, the burning of the city of Jerusalem, the carrying away captive to Babylon, there was never again a going after idols for the people of Israel. Scholars put it this way when they said that the Babylonian captivity and destruction of Jerusalem cured Israel of its idolatry. So though it was a very harsh judgment, it was the cure, because God showed the people how very serious it was to God to have such horrific unfaithfulness to the Lord and complete abandonment of God. And that abandonment of God is at the very core of all rebellion against God, that we've turned away from God, not listened to him, not cared for him. And one of the most like profound things that's pointed out in terms of just how wicked they have become in their pursuit of idol worship was this statement made in the 23rd chapter, starting at the 38th verse, where the Lord says, "Moreover, this they have done to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day of their idolatries, and they've profaned my Sabbath. For when they had slain their children as offerings to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it by daring to offer sacrifice there also. And behold, thus have they done in the midst of my house." So the Lord describes how completely given over to idolatry they were, that they didn't even realize that it would offend God for them to go and sacrifice their children to the false god Molech, which is where they would heat up the statue of Molech with fire, which had its arms stretched out, and then they would place their children on that burning idol, which would of course kill the child. And now the child was being given as an offering to this wicked, demonic, false god called Molech. And then on the same day, they'd go over to the temple of God and dare to offer sacrifice there. So they were very religious, but completely and totally unfaithful to God. How many people in our generation commit wickedness and then go right over to church and sing hallelujah? Similar type of spirit, similar type of sinfulness, where a person's conscience isn't even sensitive enough to know that that would grieve God so much. We need to examine ourselves. We see here such a picture of God's disgust with the sin of that era, and yet God's holiness hasn't changed and his standards haven't changed. One of the big sins that was happening in Jerusalem at that time, as we mentioned previous days of our devotional, was this issue of continued violence. There was so much violence and bloodshed in the city. It was just part of the lifestyle. And you know, we live in a day when there's so much violence around us that it is really exalted in the media. And people play video games that are totally violent, that are totally about killing people and bloodshed, and then watch movies as their entertainment that are filled with bloodshed and adultery and immorality, all the very same sins that God judged Jerusalem for when he destroyed it through the Babylonian assault. But you know, we need to look at our own lives and ask the Holy Spirit to show us, are we doing a little mixture like these people were, where they would go to Molech and offer their children and then later on in the afternoon go over to the temple and offer another type of sacrifice? We don't want to be guilty of the same things that we're reading about today. Ask the Lord, have you watched on Saturday night something that is just filled with ungodliness on the movie screen or on your television set or on your computer, and then go to church the next day and put in your offering in the offering plate? What's the difference? We need God to help us to love him and love his ways and want his ways more than we want what our society today sees as entertainment. I like to define holiness as loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Let's pray this week. Ask the Lord to give you a heart to love what God loves and hate what God hates. God bless you and give you a victorious day. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.